All right, so you ready to dive in to the world of plastics? I
Always.
think this is going to be a good one. Whether you're, like a designer sketching out a new product or an engineer working with material samples, this is going to be good. We're going deep on amorphous and semi-crystalline plastics
Sounds good.
and how those differences affect injection molding. So, that make or break moment when your design becomes real.
Picking the wrong plastic can be make or break. Like, is it a good product or is it, cracking under pressure?
Exactly. It's like standing at a crossroads, right? And each path, leads to a totally different material destiny. So for this deep dive, we're using what are the benefits of amorphous versus semi-crystalline plastics in injection molding? And this article is really cool because it's written from a designer's perspective. So it's super practical.
I like that. I like articles that are practical. And this one uses clear explanations and visuals to really make those concepts click, like the infographic comparing molecular structures.
Okay, so let's talk about this infographic. It shows, amorphous plastics with this like tangled spaghetti-like structure. And then semi-crystalline plastics are like neatly stacked pencils.
That's right.
So I'm guessing this is not just like a, for the looks at a molecular level.
Not at all. These structural differences are really like at the core of how these plastics behave. So amorphous plastics, they have that chaotic structure, so they have low shrinkage during molding, which makes them good for intricate designs.
So if I'm like, designing something with very fine details, I should use amorphous.
Like think of a phone case with all the little buttons and cutouts. An amorphous plastic like ABS would be a good choice because it flows easily into the mold, so it captures all those details.
That makes sense. And what about those neatly stacked pencils, the semi-crystalline plastics? What do they bring to the table?
So their ordered structure gives them inherent strength and makes them less vulnerable to chemical attacks. So like gears or pipes that need to withstand, stress and harsh environments. So HDPE, a semi-crystalline plastic, is what's used for milk jugs. You wouldn't want those cracking easily.
No, definitely not. So, okay, we're starting to see how, these structural differences are important, but it gets even more interesting when we think about heat, right? Because heat is like the engine of injection molding. You've ever wondered why some products come out perfectly and some have flaws? It's all about how they behave under heat.
It's like their thermal dance.
Ooh, I like that.
So the article talks about thermoplastics and thermosets, and they use the analogy of clay versus cake. So thermoplastics, like our friend ABS, they're like clay. You can heat them, shape them, reheat them, and it doesn't fundamentally change their structure.
Okay, so they're the chameleons of the plastic world, adaptable.
Now thermosets are like cake. Once it's baked, there's no going back. The heat triggers an irreversible chemical change and creates that rigid structure.
So if I'm working with a thermoplastic, like I have some wiggle room with the temperature, but with thermosets, it's one shot.
One shot. And that's why understanding the melting point of a plastic is so important for injection molding. The article talks about polyethylene as an example. It has a very specific melting temperature range. And if you go outside of that range during molding, you risk
So
defects.
you're saying if it's too low, it won't flow into the mold, right? And if it's too high, it degrades the material.
That's right. So you got to find that sweet spot where it's fluid enough to fill the mold, but not so hot that it breaks down.
A balancing act.
It is. Precise temperature control is crucial for injection molding, especially with those semi-crystalline plastics like polyethylene.
So we've gone from, those tiny molecular structures to thermal behavior. Now we're talking about dimensional stability.
It's like this drama unfolding with each material reacting differently to the stresses and changes. The infographic shows this really well. So plastics tend to expand with heat.
Have you ever noticed how plastic parts can seem a little off in the winter?
Exactly. That's thermal expansion. Think about wood, infamous for warping with moisture. It's all about how materials respond to their environment.
So what you're saying is even little changes in temperature or humidity can really impact the size of a material. So we have to pay attention to that as designers.
Whether it's a phone case or a bridge, understanding dimensional stability is key.
Okay, so we've covered how plastics behave under heat, how they hold their shape, how those molecular structures, make them who they are. But there's another challenge: chemicals. So imagine a product that's going into a lab a factory, or even just a kitchen counter.
You're talking about chemical resistance.
Yes.
Which is like the unsung hero of material selection, making sure that our products can withstand, you know, acids, bases, solvents, you name it. It's about durability, but it's also about safety, preventing leaks, corrosion, potential hazards.
Right. The article has some great examples like PTFE.
Yeah.
That's the stuff they use for nonstick cookware.
Yeah. And lab equipment.
Yeah. It can resist almost anything. But there's a trade-off, right?
Yeah.
If it's good at resisting things, does that make it prone to scratching?
That's a great point.
So how do designers account for that?
So PTFE is slippery, which is good and bad. It's great at chemical resistance. But yeah, it can scratch. So designers will often use it as like a coating.
Mm-hmm.
On top of a more durable base.
I see.
Or they'll incorporate design features that reduce abrasion.
Right. So it's all about choosing the right material.
Yeah.
The article also mentioned polypropylene. That's used in the chemical and textile industries a lot.
Polypropylene is a workhorse. It can handle acids and bases. So it's really useful in a range of applications.
Mm-hmm.
From containers for harsh cleaners to textiles that, you know, can be washed over and over.
Okay, wow. So that's impressive. So we've talked about how they react to heat, their dimensional stability.
Yeah.
How those kind of structures affect their personalities. But there's this whole other world behind all this.
Yeah.
Polymer science.
Yeah.
And I feel like understanding this is like a superpower for designers.
It really is. It's the foundation for making the right choices. It's all about understanding those building blocks and how they influence performance and aesthetics and even environmental impact.
Yeah. And speaking of environmental impact, that's definitely something we need to talk about.
Yeah.
But first, let's delve into the world of polymer types.
Okay.
Their properties and their real world applications.
Yeah, do it.
The article breaks down these different players. I'm ready to learn.
All right, from polyethylene in grocery bags to nylon in backpacks, each polymer has a story to tell.
This is going
to
be great.
And as designers, we get to be the storytellers.
I like that. We'll be back in a flash to explore those specific types and unravel their unique characteristics. Stay tuned.
See you soon. Welcome back.
Oh, so?
It's amazing to think about how these materials are just like all around us every day, you know?
Right.
In ways we don't even think about.
Yeah. Let's start with polyethylene terephthalate.
Okay.
Better known as PET.
PET, the unsung hero of beverage bottles and food packaging. Keeps our drinks fresh, keeps our foods safe, lightweight, recyclable. That's PET.
Wow. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
But you're right. We take these materials for granted, but there's so much that goes into making something that's functional and sustainable.
Yeah.
The article also mentioned high-density polyethylene, or HDPE.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this one's tough.
Absolutely. HDPE is known for its toughness.
Yeah.
Impact resistance. So like milk jugs, those things get knocked around a lot during transport.
Yeah.
And it's not just consumer products. It's also used for industrial pipes that have to withstand, you know, harsh conditions and high pressure.
So from a milk jug to like a pipeline.
Yeah.
HDPE is there getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of brings us back to that crossroads analogy.
Yeah.
You know, as designers, we're not just picking a material. We're choosing a path for our product, a destiny that's shaped by the properties of that material.
That's a really poetic way to put it.
Yeah.
I like it. And each path has its own considerations. Like take polyvinyl chloride or PVC.
The CVC.
A mainstay in the construction industry. Everything from window frames to pipes.
Well, I actually have some experience with PVC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was working on a project and we needed something that could handle the elements.
Okay.
Weathering lasts forever. And PVC was the obvious choice.
It's durable and versatile, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of versatile, let's talk about low-density polyethylene, or LDPE.
Okay.
All about flexibility and moisture resistance.
LDPE is like the chameleon of the plastic world.
Right.
Everywhere. From those flimsy plastic bags at the grocery store to those protective films on electronics.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how such a, you know, simple material can have such a big impact on our lives.
That's true. And lastly, we have polypropylene, or PP.
Okay.
Another versatile player in the game.
Yeah.
Lightweight, but strong.
Mm.
PP is in everything from car parts to lab equipment, like the multi-tool of the plastic world.
Yeah, it's incredible how each of these plastic types has its own little place in the world.
Yeah.
Its own strengths,
yeah.
Its own applications. This has been so eye-opening. I feel like I'm seeing the world of plastics in a whole new way.
That's great to hear. And we've really only just scratched the surface as technology changes. New materials and processing techniques are emerging all the time.
Right, yeah. It's really amazing.
Pushing the boundaries.
Okay, so before we get too carried away with the future of plastics, I want to go back to something we mentioned earlier, sustainability. With all these great applications, it's easy to forget about the environmental impact.
It's a crucial aspect of design
that
we can't forget about. Luckily, there's this growing awareness of the need for sustainable solutions in the plastic industry, which is good.
The article mentioned biodegradable polymers and polymers sourced from renewable materials. Those sound promising.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how these are changing things?
Sure. So biodegradable polymers are designed to break down naturally over time. So it reduces landfill waste and, you know, the impact on the environment. They're often used for packaging and disposable products as like a green alternative to traditional plastics.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It seems like a great way to deal with plastic waste. Mm-hmm. What about polymers sourced from renewable materials?
Absolutely. Imagine plastics made from plants.
Wow.
Instead of fossil fuels. That's what polymers sourced from renewable resources are all about. So like cornstarch or sugarcane. Yep. It's about reducing our dependence on those limited resources and moving towards a circular economy.
Right, where we can reuse things.
Exactly.
It's inspiring to see science and design working together to find solutions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about a product that works. It's about a product that respects our planet.
I agree. We have a responsibility as designers and consumers to think about the life cycle of a product.
Yeah.
Where do the materials come from? How is it made? What happens to it at the end of its life? These are questions we should all be asking.
So it's about making good choices.
Yeah.
Choosing biodegradable or renewable options if we can.
Yes.
And thinking about the environmental impact of what we make.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to get creative. You know, think outside the box.
Yeah.
The world of sustainable polymers is always changing.
Yeah.
New innovations are happening all the time. Like researchers are looking into making plastics from algae.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it seems like the future of plastics is full of possibilities.
It is.
But with all these new materials and technologies, how can designers stay in the loop?
That's a good question.
And make good choices.
I think it's crucial to stay connected to the research community.
Okay.
Attend conferences, you know, engage in conversations about sustainability. There's also a ton of online resources that give you information on the impact of different materials. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to making sustainable choices.
It sounds like it's all about staying curious and engaged.
Yeah.
We need to be lifelong learners, always looking for new information.
Exactly. And remember, sustainability isn't just about the materials we use.
Right.
It's about designing things that last.
Right. So a product that lasts longer means less in the landfills.
Exactly. It's about designing for quality and longevity, not just disposability. We have to move away from that throwaway culture and think more about what we design and consume.
So as we explore the world of polymers and, you know, kind of push the limits, we need to keep sustainability top of mind.
Yeah.
This has been so enlightening, and I'm feeling inspired and also challenged to think more about my own design choices.
Who did?
Before we wrap up, I'd love to hear your final thoughts on what we talked about today.
Okay.
And what you see for the future.
I think we're at an interesting point in the history of plastics. We're moving beyond just seeing them as useful and starting to think about their environmental impact.
Yeah.
And that conversation about sustainability is growing, and I'm excited to see what happens next.
I'm feeling energized and ready to use what I've learned in my own work. Thanks for sharing your knowledge and reminding us that design isn't just about how things look or how they work. It's about making choices that affect the world around us. We'll be back in a moment with some final thoughts and questions for our listeners. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. We've come a long way from those tiny polymer chains to the huge impact of plastics on our planet. But before we finish up this deep dive, I want to leave you with something to think about.
It's like we've built this amazing toolkit of knowledge, and now it's like, okay, how do we use it responsibly?
We talked about how choosing between, you know, amorphous and semi-crystalline plastics can be so important.
Yeah.
But there's this other layer, the environmental cost.
And it's interesting because the very things that make certain plastics good for a job might also be what makes them last forever in a landfill.
Yeah, it's a real dilemma.
It is, yeah.
It's like we're detectives trying to find the material with the perfect alibi.
Yeah.
You know, one that does its job but disappears without a trace.
And that's where those biodegradable and renewable polymers are so cool.
Yeah.
They're like the new kids on the block offering a new way to think about plastic.
Okay, so let's say I'm designing something new and I have to pick my material.
Yeah.
What questions should I ask myself to be more eco-friendly?
Okay, first think about its afterlife.
Okay.
What happens when the product's done?
Right.
Can it be recycled? Will it biodegrade without leaving nasty stuff behind?
So it's not just about how it performs. It's about how it bows out.
Right. Then think bigger. What about the whole production process? How much energy does it take to make? Are there any hidden environmental problems we're not seeing?
Like a full background check on the material.
Exactly. And finally, challenge yourself. Are there other materials that could do the same job but with less impact?
Right.
Maybe a bio-based plastic or a whole new design approach.
These questions are like a roadmap for better design.
Yeah.
Guiding us towards solutions that are innovative and sustainable.
And remember, it's not about being perfect right away. The field is always changing. What matters is that we stay curious, stay informed, and keep pushing the limits of what's possible.
This deep dive has really opened my eyes to the world of plastics. We went way beyond simple definitions and found the hidden stories behind these materials, their strengths, their weaknesses, their potential to make a better future.
And that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah.
Always changing, always finding new solutions to the problems we face.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us on this journey into amorphous and semi-crystalline plastics. The choices we make as designers and as consumers really matter. By being mindful about materials, we can make products that are functional and beautiful and also good for our planet.